Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank of katelovingshank.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and the author of the Prayer Prescription Series. Tonight and today, wherever you happen to be in the world, Sheila Odette, a.k.a. Astrology's Astrologer, is joining me again. It's been a while. I'm so happy she's back. I know that my audience will be just as happy. I haven't accessed the chat room yet to see if people are joining us to ask questions. But joining me now is Astrology's Astrologer, Sheila Odette. Hello, Sheila.
Hi. I'm really glad.
It's been a while.
It's been a long journey back here, like the yellow brick road.
Well, honey? Yeah. Let us know what you've been up to, because I know it's been a, like you say, it really has been a journey.
Well, yeah, I died and came back, I guess, and I had bacterial meningitis, and I had 56 days where I couldn't move my legs or anything, but, you know, everything's for a reason, and I couldn't read, and I couldn't move, and when you do that, you know, it deepens you. It takes you to a place that you don't go usually. And it's a great teacher, and it makes you become more aware of, you know, because you have to go into your anger, your pain, your abandonment, your terror, your loneliness. And I guess all of those are aspects of the sacred wound that, you know, in our daily lives we usually try to ignore because we're moving too fast. So,
yes.
You know, so if you can take that grief or you know, and someone said, actually, a young boy said to me, well, a young boy was in the pulpit and in this church speaking. It was Children's Day. And he said, if you can take grief and forgiveness and turn it in, if you take grief and turn it into the lesson, then it becomes forgiveness. I thought that was awesome.
That
I don't know.
So
I don't,
awesome.
If it hit you like that, but it really hit me like that. If you can take revenge, he said, and turn it into looking at it as a lesson, then you can do forgiveness and of everything. So that there was a, you know, a 16-year-old boy that's going to be a minister. I was very taken by that, very taken. And
oh, that's interesting. Yes.
It's going to be great. So, but that's what I've been doing. I've been, you know, trying to, well, I've been doing it. I've been getting well. So, we've lost Wayne Dyer, and we've lost Wayne Dyer in this realm. We'll always have Wayne Dyer in every realm, but he's one of the greatest spiritual teachers that ever walked the planet, I think. And he's right up there with everybody, you know, Gandhi and all of them, I think. That's the way I think of him. And
yes.
And I guess you do too. But it's interesting, you know, Wayne's book, he always tells you about the beginning, you know, when he's not vibrating to the vibratory energy of, you know, the upper vibrations and the vibrational energy, like you know, the lower vibrations are desire, fear, anger, pride, and courage. And when you move over that, in every one of his books, he moves to the next level, which is neutrality, which vibrates at 250, and willingness at 310 and acceptance at 350 and reason and love at 500 and joy at 540. He brings you to joy whenever he speaks and whenever he's on the stage, was on the stage. And then it's up to 1,000 where it's supposed to be total enlightenment. And, you know,
yes.
Total enlightenment is when you're teaching. There's supposed to be 12 people or so on the planet that have ascended to that level. There's a book called The Eastern Masters. I don't know if you've read it. There's 6 of those books. And, they still can walk on water. They still can walk through fire. They still can, take their bodies and transport it to another place. They can still do all that. And for me, Wayne Dyer, I have his astrological chart in front of me. He, what we call houses in astrology, there's 12 houses, and each one of them has a sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
That a house is assigned to the environment in the house. And so the environment in the house, and sometimes there's 2 house cusps where it's like a piece of pie. Sometimes there's 2 house cusps that have the same sign on them. And I call the 9th house cusp the gestation point, and it's why we came here. It's the work we have to do. And so Wayne Dyer, I always said Donald Trump there, wasn't that interesting? Wayne Dyer has Sagittarius on the gestation point, and then in the midheaven he has Sagittarius. He has in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, in the upper part of the chart, he has absolutely no planets. And it's like Helen Keller. Helen Keller had no planets up there. It's called a cradle. It means that every single thing is in the bottom of the chart. So he has had no difficulty or no difficulty at all getting direct information from the next level up, okay?
And right.
And so, and then where his chart starts on the ascendant is Pisces. So that means to me that he was like Jesus. He was walking the path of teaching. And, you know, when you have Pisces on the ascendant, you can either be a victim, one side of Pisces, or the hero, the other side of Pisces. And the hero is what Jesus said he was. He said he was a healer, he was a teacher, that we shouldn't worship the dying on the cross, we should worship the rising up. So Wayne Dyer has that on the ascendant. But the next thing is the intercepted house, which means there's a house between 2 houses, and that is in Aries, in the first house. And what you have in the first house is what you are going to present to humanity. So he has the south node rising in Aries, and the north node across from it is in Libra. The nodes are what connect us. Now, the way I can explain that is if you are reading a fairy tale, okay, like The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy is in Kansas, okay, the north node. And then all of a sudden she's swept over to Wonderland, which is the south node. But she still has to stay connected to Kansas, or else she can't bring the information back. She would be stuck in Wonderland. And now Dorothy goes over, and Alice in Wonderland goes under. Jack and the Beanstalk goes up, right? So all of them go in a different direction according to the Earth, you know? So Wayne Dyer has the south node in Aries and the north node in Libra. So what he did is pioneering work where he would go in and out. He would go over and fetch information to balance out relationships on this plane. And whenever you saw him talk or heard him talk or read his book or anything, I think, and what you said before was, you never read, if you read it a week and then you read it a month later, it was different. It was,
it always hits you.
Yeah, it hits you at a pioneering spot. And then the next planet up in the first house is Jupiter in Aries. So his thing was to really punch you and it's fire, was really to punch you and startle you. And that really is what, in some of the fairy tales, that's what the villains do. But the villains, that have, there's a reason for a villain, because the villain is supposed to keep you awake on the road. You know, the witches and the things that test you. The Mad Hatter, when he says to Alice in Wonderland, when he says, you know, Alice, you've lost your muchness. You're not very much mm-hmm. anymore. You better get it back. Mm-hmm. I love that. One of my favorite lines of all time. So, the other thing is, everything you want is on the other side of fear. So they have to present fear, like, you know, have to present that in order to challenge you. And that's why Aries, you know, is, you know, it's called the fighter. It's called the survivor, right? And
yeah.
all of those kind of things. So he has that in the first house. And then in the second house, when he created experiences for himself and for people, he has Saturn in Taurus and Mercury in Taurus, which means giving them the language to really grab onto, giving mm-hmm. them the voice. And that,
yeah.
you know, you can go on. Did you want to say something?
It grounds it. Taurus grounds all of that stuff.
Good. Yeah, that's right. It grounds it. It creates an experience or an environment, and you've seen that tape of him where that globe comes up behind him. He goes the globe
no.
back. Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, the globe. That is far out. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very far out. That was the top
the
of his.
They're called orbs.
Okay, that's right, Kate. It's an orb. It was. Wasn't that neat? When that he had
yeah,
pictures
yeah.
of it in his book too. Pictures of that orb glowing that people got, actually got film of it. So that's like the Mercury in Taurus is like he is kind of a facilitator, like to pull the scarecrow. If we look at the scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz as Mercury in Taurus,
yep.
which is stuck in the field with the crows chattering around it, and Mercury in Taurus is hanging on the cross. I mean, the scarecrow is
mm-hmm.
hanging on the cross. And he's saying,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to, but he doesn't do anything. Until Dorothy says, you have to go on an adventure. You have to go on a journey. You have to do it. You can't just try to get down off the, you have to do it. So,
yeah.
so that is conjunct, and conjunct means connected directly to his sun in Taurus. And the little dot, there, in astrology, there's a circle with a dot in the middle, which is the seed that you're supposed
yes.
to break open. And when you break that seed open, then that means that you have really committed yourself to the natal chart. Some people never do that. Some people, I've done charts where people have never, they've gone through, but they go right back because they become fearful that it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has Uranus conjunct the sun in Taurus, too, and Juno. So Juno, which is an asteroid, but Juno says that he hits people, he got them where they felt completely helpless, where they felt
mm-hmm.
they couldn't do anything. He gave them the language. He gave them the courage. He gave them all of that to get through that and create another experience. Now,
wow.
here we have another in the third house, Moon in Gemini. So Moon in Gemini, of course, Moon in Gemini, John Kennedy had it. President Kennedy had the Moon in Gemini. Basically, the Moon in Gemini has to do with getting people in the environment that really hear you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Moon in Gemini and Mars in Gemini is conjunct that, which is really having the courage. And that Mars in Gemini rules the beginning of this Aries. Mars rules Aries. So
mm-hmm.
he really was on an extreme adventure in this lifetime. And the next thing
yeah.
at the root of the chart is Venus in Cancer, which means he truly loved humanity. And
wow,
that
you can
is,
see that. You can see that. His love, he actually, I wanted to recommend
the movie The Shift, for everybody listening, The Shift that he was produced and put forth by Hay House. And it's this great movie where he's going to an island to be interviewed by a bunch of kids who are very ambitious in their filmmaking careers. So they're very ambitious, and he is, you know, very spaced out but grounded and very loving. And he's doing these interviews, and the kids are kind of like freaked out. But not only that, there's these other people coming on the island who are very wealthy and also freaked out and very unhappy. And and really, it was his influence on that island that helped all of them have some sort of eureka experience, and some of them didn't even know that he was there. So I really believe that that's the kind of influence he had, and the fact is that he was alive in the world, and he had that influence to that radio show on Hay House was unbelievable. And last night, he's always on a Monday afternoon, and last evening they had a memorial. His partner on that radio show was totally devastated by the fact that the thing is, why do people always say he's gone when he really isn't? Explain that in the chart, that Wayne Dyer is not gone, please.
Wayne Dyer is not gone because the death is very specific here. His moon went to 0 degrees of Aries on the ascendant, right next to the ascendant, and his sun, and it's a sun-Pluto conjunction. The sun was at 1 degree of Leo, they're the lights, and plutonic energy is power. So what he did was he ascended. He really did. I look at this chart and I go, yes, in some way, it has to look, because that's what we believe. Our language is that he died and he's gone. But really,
that is the language, right?
But it wasn't Jesus' language. I mean, Jesus did not.
I mean, let's face it. It's stupid language attributed to death. Almost anybody who dies, people say they're gone. Nobody's gone. But least of all, Wayne Dyer.
Least of all, Wayne Dyer. And if you go into an environment, I might as well say it. There was a wonderful workshop that Tom, your husband, and you did at the Unitarian Church, and a minister there, Reverend Glass, who worked in that space over and over again, she was in the space. We could She was there, and you could feel her. I mean, it was amazing. And
she appeared. She appeared, and people kept calling you Joanne.
Right.
It was just phenomenal. I mean, everybody thinks Joanne is gone. I don't know where they think. It just drives me nuts. But on the other hand, you understand that this culture, the American culture, is terrified of death, and they think that when you die, you're gone. I mean, this is the belief behind death in this culture. So that's what we have on that score.
Until you die, and then you know you don't.
Yeah, well, sure.
Until they die, then they know they didn't. I mean, then they know they're not gone.
I wanted to recommend the book that Wayne Dyer's daughter wrote, Serena. It's called Don't Die With Your Music In You. And I don't know if that is, I think it's a Hay House bestseller, but I want to put it out there. I recommended The Shift, the movie. I think you can get that on Amazon, DVD. But this is a book, and it's written by Serena, but after at the end of each chapter, Wayne Dyer writes a little bit of something, some insights into the whole idea that she was raised by a spiritual parent, and what was it like to be raised by Wayne Dyer, let alone spiritual parents. And it's a great book. It has a lot of insight. She's she probably didn't know it at the time, but she's probably going to be taking up her father's work.
Oh, wow. So it's Don't Die With Your Music In You.
And that's Serena, Serena J. Dyer,
Serena J. Dyer.
Okay, I love that title.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
die with your music, Virginia. That means don't die. Go on.
No, go ahead. Don't die.
It means don't die with your chart in you. I mean, it don't die with your astrological map with you. People get stuck somewhere in their astrological map, and they redundantly go over that, and they never crack it open and break open the seed. And it's the same way that if you look at it, you know, trillions of seeds drop off trees all the time, and yet you only
yeah.
see one tree in a yard grow. I used to look at,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the window. That's the only one seed crack. So I used to think it's really, and the people's charts that you do, that you see, are really working their natal journey. They've gone through a lot of stuff. They've gone through, you know, grief and abandonment and pain and breakups and a lot of things, but they have transformed them into something great, like Marianne Williamson and Oprah Winfrey and, you
yes,
know,
yes.
All of the ones that they've gone through a lot of pain. So I wanted
yes.
to say that I do graft, and on the graft, when he died, it's the only time on this whole graph that I do, there's lines going across, that Venus, the nose, the transiting things in the sky, went over top of his Venus when he died.
Yes.
So
yes.
what he did was he did transcend in love, and he is still teaching, and anyone that calls on him, he will come. I'm sure.
Yes.
Because he has in his chart Neptune in Virgo, which is he can come mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's retrograde, which means it's very subjective, which means he
right.
can take that information and continue on with it. Now, you know, Jesus' information and all Gandhi and all Krishna and all of them, they go on with their information, but it's been so diluted. It's not the original message. If you just go around one room and whisper into somebody's ear, you don't
mm-hmm.
get the same sentence at the end of the room. I mean, I've done it in workshops, and you've done it. You just don't.
Right.
And that means that the information, you have to really search for your own information. And Wayne
yes,
Dyer.
Yes. That was his
on.
Message. That was his message, yes.
To search for your own information.
So I was going to say, Donald Trump's chart just may have been trumped by Wayne Dyer. That's hysterical.
Yes, well, Donald Trump.
Which is
Donald Trump is a Gemini. He was born June the 14th, 1946, and
uh-huh.
he had Uranus Uranus conjunct the sun in Gemini, and that is an intercepted house. So
mm-hmm.
if you're looking in the fairy tale, he is the Mad Hatter, okay? He is
yeah.
the one that is going to do what is the most unexpected thing and bring up the most emotion. And
mm-hmm.
that's what he needs to do. That's what he wants to bring up. And, you know, it's good for the race. Good for, I do not think he'll make it, but he's not going to make it. But the moon is in but people better watch it, because the moon is in Sagittarius. He has the moon in Sag, which means,
mm-hmm.
you know, the one thing about the moon is he can't let go of a boat. If he gets someone to, that he's mad at, he can't let it go. He just keeps on
yeah.
and on and on with it. And, I mean, thank God it's not another country and he's not president, right?
Yeah.
So when he started this whole thing with the sun in Gemini and the moon, he now has five progressions, things progress. His sun is at the very end of Leo. So
mm-hmm.
August 2016, and we'll go into Virgo. So the tides will turn on him, and he will... the Leo energy begins to be criticized by the Virgo energy. People begin to start mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually criticizing it. The point about Donald Trump is he's not using other people's money. So he can't be bought. But Neptune, Mercury comes together on the ascendant, and Neptune, and Jupiter, Mercury. So there is, you know, he is creating some kind of secret in some way. To him, this is show business with this, all this Leo, okay?
Yeah, well, it's show business, really.
Yeah, it's show business. I mean, the whole big thing about, you know, Trump written on the plane and Trump written on the hotels and Trump written on the casinos, I mean, that's ego. That's, you know, ego. And so
I would call it huge, arrogant ego. Yeah.
Well, that would be your definition of the moon in Sag, dear.
Yes.
There you have it.
Yes.
That means he's
now,
scared
the question
away.
Is, I think the question that people would have, just the one single question, do you think he's going to get the nomination from his chart?
No. No, I don't.
But who won? Because they're all, you know, I can't imagine. Yeah, because the other guys, well, they're just all trying to be like Donald Trump. That's the problem.
Well, he's running, you know, he's running against the Scorpio. I mean, on the other side is the Scorpio. And Scorpio, they're going to try to get her with secret. Hillary.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing, exactly what her chart is. You know, she has four planets in Scorpio, close to the sun in Scorpio. That's secret keeping. But she has the moon in Pisces, which means, you know, there's really a very deep, it's so much different than him. It's a deep, compassionate, deep thing going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know.
And I don't think she can express it. You know, she can't express herself.
No.
But, I want to say that so Donald Trump is a phenomenon to be reckoned with.
Oh, my God, yes.
And so is Bernie Sanders, but we'll talk about him at another time because I think that he is an amazing gentleman with so much integrity,
mm-hmm.
and he could be truly representative of the old Republican Party. I don't really think, you know, the press would like to demonize him by calling him a socialist. Well, I think that in this day and age, we all would embrace socialism. We all would all like to share everything we have. We need to, you know, grow into a more loving society where we're taking care of the kids get out of jails, that we focus children into education, which is what Bernie talks about. Yeah, I think that in the end, Bernie Sanders is the man.
Great.
For the season, you know, but
yeah. I don't have
because,
his chart here.
Yeah, that's okay. I also want to say that there's two people waiting to talk to you on the line, which is awesome.
Oh, okay.
And they have some questions about Donald Trump or Wayne Dyer, or they probably would like to know about their charts, and maybe you can draw a tarot card for them.
They probably want to know about themselves.
Whatever they want to know is fine. This is area code 757. Hello. 757 area code. How are you this evening?
Hi, fine. You? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
What's your name?
My name is Andrea.
Andrea. Okay.
Yes.
Go on.
And I guess, well, my birthday is 5/27/1964.
July 27, 1964.
There's
a
shushel
sound.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
No, it's not you, honey. It was on before you came on the moon. Okay.
Okay.
Don't you take credit for it, okay?
Okay.
Somebody reading and listening to us, huh? July 27th. Okay. Have you had your chart?
May 27th.
Oh, May 27th.
Yeah.
I'm never in July.
No, mm-hmm. May. I'm Gemini. I just was like, what do you mean Donald Trump's a Gemini? Oh, help.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that. No, I didn't know he was a Gemini.
You learn something every day, Andrea.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you had your chart done before?
No.
Okay. What do you want to know, sweetness?
I want to know when in my chart is it going to say that I'm going to get clarity to use my gifts?
Say that again.
Where in my chart does it say that I'm going to get clarity to use my gifts? Is it in my chart that I'm going to use my gifts eventually? My spiritual gifts.
Yes. In other words, you don't want to die with your music in you.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think I am. So.
Well, interestingly enough, we're talking about Wayne Dyer, and he must be present because, you know, your son is in, you know, of course you've got the sun in Gemini, but you've got this moon in Sagittarius.
Oh.
So the moon, yeah, that's what Donald Trump has, actually. The moon in Sagittarius.
Oh.
But then you have Mercury, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter in Taurus, which means
okay.
You can take your gift and you can ground it right now. All you have to say is, I'm not going to try. You have something in front of you? Is there a pencil or something in front of you?
Yes, I can get
it. Okay, try to pick it up.
Okay, I'm right here.
Did you try to pick it up?
Pick up the pencil?
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I picked it up.
That's not trying, that's doing it.
Oh. Okay, I got you.
That's not trying, that's doing it. So what
yeah.
is your, what is, you can take with your Mercury and your Mars and your Jupiter, you can take that and you can find a passion. And you can take your gift and break it open and use it. Now, what would that be? If it could be anything on earth, what would it be?
It would be healing. Healing people.
Okay. What kind of healing? Does it have a name or?
I don't know. I kind of think I can maybe do hands-on
mm-hmm.
healing.
Yes.
Because I've, so you said, like, many people have that are end up being great have gone through a lot of things, and I have gone through so many things, especially medical-wise.
Yes.
I survived 2 bouts of breast cancer in 1 year. I had a brain tumor in 2000 on my brainstem.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my speech and swallowing for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I got that back.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 33 radiation treatments, a double mastectomy. I've had blood transfusions. I've had everything. And I managed to go to nursing school with all this, in between all of this. I graduated. And
mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to take my boards in October. And I'll be a registered nurse.
Congratulations.
Thank
yep.
you.
Really
I want you to stop using your own body as an experiment.
I know. It's like I'm trying to prove to myself that I can heal. And I always heard that from doctors that you're really doing well. You healed so well. You healed so fast. Or, you know, they couldn't believe it. And one time I went to an orthopedic surgeon and he was trying to give me a cortisone shot. You know, they spray that cold stuff
yeah.
on your hand. He
yeah.
said he's mm-hmm. never sprayed it for that long on somebody's
wow.
hand. Never took somebody's hand that long that he knew of to get to the point where he could put stuff where it froze up. So I was laughing because I'm like, are you trying to tell me that that's where my gift is? I always look for signs in everything.
There is a glow.
In it.
Do you know that glow? the book, Kate, called Hands of Light.
Hands of Light, okay.
Yeah, I think it's called Hands of Light. There's two hands. I just think that you should really read that book. It's
okay.
A big book. You can probably get it on Amazon.
Okay.
I think you are a healer. You have mm-hmm. You have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
The information is, you know, the Gemini, Moon and Sag means you not only have the information, but you have the ability to expand it. You have the ability
okay.
to heal whole groups of people at one time, like John of God. I don't know if you heard John of God.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then you have Saturn in Pisces, which puts yourself on the cross and you say, I'm not good enough to do this. Well, you know, I'm not, you know, it's not really, you must stop that. You must tell your story a different way. You must tell your story that you have graduated through all of these processes. They were hard. You grew,
mm-hmm.
you grew very strong
mm-hmm.
through all of them. And now you're ready to do your work, okay?
Yeah.
Now you're ready to go out. You don't need any more lessons, okay?
Okay.
So, Yes, it does. And, you know, make no mistake about it. Enlightenment is really a destructive process. It has nothing to do with becoming better or being happier. You've gone through it. Enlightenment is the crumbling away of untruth.
Okay.
It's seeing through the facade of pretense. It's the complete eradication of everything we imagine to be true. So you have just like an onion, as Kate would say, you have peeled it away. And now you're ready. And sometimes then people are ready to do their work, and they don't realize they're there. And you are.
Okay.
You're there.
I guess that's what I needed to know. I had some self-esteem issues coming back from my childhood, and I'm trying to work on that. Sometimes I have a lot of negative self-talk, but it's not my talk. It's coming from my mother. So I have to get rid of that as I'm working on it.
You know what I said about the people on all the fairy tales? The mother can be the tester. She may have come in to test you. So then the forgiveness has to do with, I love this. Forgiveness really has to do with saying, I've learned the lesson.
Yes.
And then you can forgive.
Yes.
Then you can forgive.
And I have seen that. I have actually done that. And I really, for the first time, really feel that I do forgive her, because I'm like, it just was part of the plan. Just like all the things that happened to you medically, she was just a piece of the puzzle to get you to where you needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I just really feel like I've really released that, especially the last week or so.
And the last thing I want to say is the Neptune in Scorpio means that you can be a channel for healing. Like, if you just let the channel open, say, of myself, I cannot do this, but if you work through me, I am willing to heal anybody that's in front of me. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you very much
too.
For calling in.
No problem. Bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. Now we have area code 248. I believe that's Michigan. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
What's your name?
My name is Jackie.
Maggie?
Jackie.
Maggie. Is that your name?
Mm-hmm, Jackie.
Jackie. Okay, I got it. When were you born, Jackie?
Yes. I don't really have a question. I just want to know what you see for me. I'm probably scared to tell you I'm a Gemini, too, like Donald Trump.
It's a Gemini, isn't it?
I had to say that. Yeah. My birthday is June 11th.
What's your June 11th?
June
11th. What's the year?
1969.
Ah. What month, May?
June.
Mm-hmm.
The
11th. Okay, 1969, right?
Yes.
Okay. What you don't have a question. Is that what you just said to me?
No, pretty much. Anything the chart telling you about myself?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jackie. I'm looking up in the ephemeris. Okay. I can't believe it. Okay, so we have another Sun in Gemini, Moon in Taurus. It's uncanny. It really is kind of uncanny. Synchronicity, serendipity, you know?
Yeah.
Mercury in Gemini, Venus in Taurus, Mars in Sag, Jupiter in Virgo, Saturn in Taurus. Well, Jackie, you're a force to be reckoned with also. Okay. Listen to her laughing. Okay, so you have a lot of information to bring to this earth. You have a lot. When you have the Sun in Gemini and the Moon in Taurus, it's like you can bring the information in and you can ground it. You can ground it so people can hear it. Mercury, you know, you have Mercury in Gemini too. So Mercury in Gemini is all kinds of information. So what kind of information do you have, honey?
I'm spiritual connected. I'm into real estate. That's my main thing. I'm right now hoping to get something tore down to get this plaza little center built strip mall, like with about 12 different units. So that's
mm-hmm.
my goal, what I'm trying to meditate, concentrate on now that I've been got myself together, not crossing my T's, dotting my I's, not just got all these great ideas and trying to use them all at one time and doing nothing. So I'm like, okay, I just focus on this one big project as opposed to 10 small things or 5 small things.
Okay. What you can do, where's your phone? I lost my phone. Okay. You can draw a circle, and you can put in the center, right comfort zone. And what you said about having a lot of ideas and not moving on them, that's in that zone. Okay, that keeps you stuck.
Yeah.
So you have to say, do a circle outside that and put it in the stretch zone.
Okay.
And so you take the one idea, okay, Jackie?
Mm-hmm.
One idea, and you say, I'm going to do 3 things around that idea. I'm going to stretch out, okay? I'm going to do, and then if that works and you do the 3 things, some people go, you go tell 3 other people that are important or write it down or whatever it is, stretch. Then the next circle out is risk. And the risk means, the risk circle means you really go in there for it. You really do something that you think that if you do it, you'll die. Okay?
You go before
somebody, you do whatever, but you go there and you do something and you think you're going to die. You pretend it to whatever that is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you work it that way because you have all this Gemini, and I guarantee you the universe will be with you with this chart. The universe is going to be with you, honey.
Mm.
Yes. And the other thing is I got the card lighten up. You're taking it, if you lighten up a bit, and I got another card. These are called Osha cards. You know when you see the trapeze artist? And the trapeze artists have to leap to the next person and grab their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That means
mm-hmm.
that's where you are. You've got to come out of the comfort zone saying, I have all these, and look at all the things that you're saying it seems like they're putting you forward, but they're keeping you stuck, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to stretch out of that, and you've got to risk grabbing for those other hands. You've got to risk, okay? And the final card is, it's beyond the illusion. It means it's a bigger dream than you even think it is. It's going to happen.
Well, that's great.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. That's what's okay, honey?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Please
okay,
do that. Yeah, okay. Please do that exercise. It'll work. Okay?
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye.
Sheila.
Bye.
Sheila, how can people get a hold of you if they want to have a much more in-depth look at their charts?
My number, well, I'm at Mary, M-A-R-Y, Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A, Audette, A-U-D-E-T, at gmail.com.
Excellent.
Or 717-342-9318.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Mary Sheila. Mary Sheila, A-U-D-E-T, at gmail.com.
Yes.
Yep, Mary
right.
Sheila.
Yes.
So now we have area code 904.
Uh-huh.
Hello there.
Hello.
What's your name?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah. And when were you born?
Yeah. August 6th, 1959.
August 15 a.m. August 5th, did you say, honey?
August 6th.
S-I-X, right?
Yes, ma'am.
1959. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And what's your question?
I guess a moving question. I'm in a I'm staying with someone right now, and I've
mm-hmm.
kind of been in limbo, and I'm also looking for a full-time day job.
Uh-huh.
Sarah, what are you talking about?
Sarah, were you born in the morning or the afternoon?
12:15 a.m.
Okay. Okay. Did you have your chart done before?
No.
Okay, so you're a double Leo. You're very powerful.
Double Leo.
Yes,
hello?
Very powerful. Unbelievably powerful. And Saturn in Capricorn. You've been here before. You're a very ancient soul. You have work to finish. You can create an environment, the sun, where you can create an environment where you can plant your seed or what you want to do in an environment with the moon in Leo that it will respond to you. And Mercury in Leo means that you can have the voice to make it happen. But you start criticizing yourself and you stop. You start Venus in Virgo, Mars in Virgo. You let other people criticize you too. And then you stop mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So it means that you've got to follow whatever passion it is that you want to do and follow through with it. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, then Saturn in Capricorn means in ancient times you built a great kind of thing. Saturn in Capricorn means you know ancient history. You can pull information from a last lifetime. I don't know if you've done it, but you certainly, Saturn in Capricorn is exalted in its own time. And so it means that basically you have that ability to do it. But you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe in yourself. Because Leos that do not believe in themselves become the cowardly lion, like in The Wizard of Oz. It's either they take courage and they move or they hide. So which are you doing, Sarah?
Oh, I don't think I'm hiding.
You don't think you're hiding. Okay, so where are you going? What is the intention? What is the destiny? What is the consequence? Where is it leading?
Okay.
Okay, what?
I'm still hiding. Maybe hiding to a degree as far as being stagnant and not making a move because of comfortability. I think since I was displaced, so to speak, it's got me in a, fear in a sense.
Okay, so you're the scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. You're in the field, you're on the thing, and you're afraid to move. Mercury and Leo, you have all these ideas, you have all of this creative drama in you, you have all of this can do, but you need, Dorothy comes along and says, you've got to get down off the cross. You've got to get down off the cross and take the risk to move. And you have to go past anybody that's criticizing you. Because they don't know what's in your journey, in your chart. Only you know that in your heart, Sarah. Only you know that. Okay?
Well, I can't say that I've had anybody criticizing me. I cannot say that.
You don't have to worry about that. You do it to yourself.
Okay. Amen.
That's the first person on the chart there, okay? You say, watch, you sit and go, draw two sides to a piece of paper, and you put me, and then on the other side you put the mirror. Then you put what you want to do over under me, and then you look on the other side of the paper and you go, well, what stops me from doing it? And people will say all kinds of things. They'll say children, or they'll say I don't have the money, or they'll say, I'm not smart enough. On and on. And those are all things that you mirror that keep you stuck. So you have to stretch past them, okay?
Okay.
You have to stretch past them and go and put on the next page, this is my goal, and I'm going to make it no matter what. And, you know, if you're, you know, I mean, this is a, you're a double Leo. Come on, I'm a Leo, so I'm going to hit you in the nose, right? you know, July the 30th, okay?
Okay.
So, I don't have the moon in Leo. You have an even more powerful chart than me, girl. Hey, come on. And Mercury in Leo. And Jupiter in Scorpio means that you can affect in a deep way a lot of people, Sarah. And do you have deja vu moments? Because Saturn in Capricorn is knowing, is pulling things from the past, okay? It's like, I've been here before, or I know that somehow, or intuition, okay?
Yeah, I really try to not ignore whatever intuition that comes up,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially with people, because I'm generally almost always right.
Well, that's a good thing, Sarah. That's a good thing, okay?
Yeah. So I'm learning, to not ignore my intuition.
Good. That's the beginning. That's great. That's good. Okay? So, okay, you go for it.
Okay.
As of tonight, you go for it, okay?
Okay.
All right, Sarah. All right. Nice
all
to
right.
talk
great.
To you.
Great to have you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Well, we have other people on the switchboard, but I think we've come to the end of our hour.
We've come to the end of the road.
Yeah, and Mary Sheila Audette at gmail.com. That's how we can... get more more insight into our astrological charts.
Okay, sweet.
And do you want to come back?
Yes, I'll be back.
I just looked the first Tuesday in October is, let me just look, is the 6th, the 6th of October. That would be awesome. Is that good? Well, I'm going to bring this to a close because I think I just lost Sheila, and she and I will discuss her next astrological adventure. Thank you, everybody, for coming on, and it's great to hear everybody's aspirations and willingness to change their lives. Bye-bye.